Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Oh, we can do all that.
Well, the Cowboys is a whole different. Jeffrey, with that, we're going to start because this week, a week that's going to live forever in American history. And I think that is why we decided to come back this week. Of course, Tuesday was the NFL trade deadline, and not a lot going on. So that's why we waited a couple days to see if anything has been resulted in that trade deadline. Of course, people getting released because they couldn't be traded. And that's why we're back, Jeff. The All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. It's been an interesting 3 to 4 weeks since we've last had a couple pods. I know we've had a couple people clamoring, a very shocking revelation in certain people that you have texted to me, clamoring for the pod. But we're back, Jeff. I don't want to say we're better than ever, but we're here and we're making a pod. So welcome, Jeff.
Will, back to the pod. Excited to be here. Excited to be back answering the clamors of the many fans. If I had to do a quick power rankings on events of this week, number 3, I put trade deadline, 2, election, 1, the return of the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. And it's not even close. Election. It's been a while, Will. Things have changed in the environments, the atmospheres, the world, but the one standard is Gucci, and it seems like you had a little Gucci trouble.
The standard for that, not a good standard. A week ago, I want to say it was Halloween, like the 30th, we went on a scary, into some, one of those scary trails last Friday night. Very, very good. Highly recommended. It's normally a farm, a traditional farm with, tractor pulls, and you pick your own apples and strawberries and all that stuff. And October, they change it into, so it's called Kerrigan Farms. And I bet you can bet what they call it in Halloween time.
Skerrigan Farms.
There you go. Nailed it. All right. Skerrigan Farms. So we did that night. Left Gucci to his own device at home. And just like a 10-second recap. But Skerrigan Farms, the last like 20 minutes or so, it's literally a corn maze. Like a cornfield. And they just let you try to find your way out. And there's like 4 doors, and we chose the wrong one first, and it was muddy and obviously super dark, and all you could see is the moon. And you go all the way, make it, then you get to the end, and it's a dead end. You have to turn all the way back around and choose a different door. Pretty crazy.
No.
Yeah. That alone was prize admission. Anyway, get back, and Gucci, we find out, got kennel cough from the dog care we bring him to, and he's got it a couple times. So we had some medication still from like the last time or whatever, but this was definitely the worst case he's ever had. Yeah. So we get home probably like 11 p.m. or midnight on that Friday night, and he has been coughing, dry heaving, all, kind of like what they call retching, where he's just, like dry heaving. He did not go to sleep the entire night. Oof. Yeah, so, we were out all night, all day, whatever. Come back, do not sleep. I think me and Ashley got a combined 1 hour of sleep from, 11 p.m. until 9 a.m. the next morning, because I called the vet as soon as they opened at 9 a.m. and said, we need better medication. And thankfully, they were able to fit us in. But, oh my gosh, Jeff, I cannot even just that and then having to work the next day. Or, that very day, just gave me some solace. Like, is this what it's like? Is this the one night that Gucci's like this? Is this how it is every night? So dad to Kellen and future whoever, is that what it's like having a baby when you first, are welcoming him or her to the world?
Yeah, it's like that, definitely, for the crying and the feeding and the bopping and all of that. I would say on the sickness front, it's depending. Obviously, we've never had like a very major scare with Kellen, and it doesn't. Mowgli's never had kennel cough, so I don't know about the severity, I understand it's probably extremely painful and, you know, emotionally wretched mm-hmm. for you to listen to yeah. your dog in pain and that. With the kids in the sickness, to me, it was always like the psychological warfare of it, because you'd put them down, you'd do all this work, and then you're like, all right, they're good. Maybe we can get a couple hours of sleep. And then you, literally as your eyes close on the pillow, they start crying. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's just that back and forth. And you're worried about them. You want to make them feel better. And, yeah, it is a little bit of that, you know, just the uncertainty, the wanting to get, you know, calling people at 2 a.m. And it's like these jamokes on, I don't know where they are. I mean, they're awake and helping. And it's just like, I need a prescription now, please. It was also kind of scary. Like, Kellen got sick, not like super bad, but right at the beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was like a run on all children's medication. So it was like kind of not apocalyptic, but just like crazy, because it wasn't like toilet paper. It was like, I need infant Tylenol or Motrin. And everywhere I went was like gone. Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was crazy. But, you know, most of the time they get better.
So the like, not even just so much the sickness part, but just the crying and all, like the hour of sleep that Ashley and I got on a Friday night, is that typical of a newborn? Or you're just saying only when there's a sickness involved? Like, yeah, you'll get a couple hours here and there, but the 1 hour, that's nothing that has happened before?
No, yeah, it definitely happens. In the beginning, the first like couple weeks are just like a blur, because you're mm-hmm. getting them used to the new environment. You're getting them on the feeding schedule. You're like easing them into the sleeping schedule. And so, yeah, it's a lot of, you know, taking turns and, you know, getting,
yeah,
you know, 30 minute bursts of your eyes being closed. And then you're just a zombie pretty much. Luckily, I didn't have to go back to work like you did. Because by the time I had to go back to work, he was at least getting like 3 hours spurts. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have that to look forward to. And thankfully Gucci is on the rebound, right now. His coughing has subsided, but yes, it is just coughing and throwing up and vomit, you know, that kind of stuff, as often as it is. And you just don't know if it's hurting him or not. So it is very emotionally draining on us, but to bigger and better things, Jeffrey. And now I need to know, talk about a tease, audience, because I don't know what is going on here on the rundown, but Jeff, all he wrote is, you'd be proud of me. So Jeff, why am I proud of you?
Well, I've partaken in a certain show that you have recommended.
Ooh,
I am 5 episodes into Cobra Kai and loving it.
Yes. Oh yes,
it's,
tell me, you know, tell me more.
It's just got the, it's just like the, there's, I it's hard to explain. It's just like very carefree, very nostalgic. Like there's a good pace to it, like some good storylines and through lines that connect from old to new, but also like new things going on. There's like, you know, also like your childhood kind of influences coming into it. And it's just, it's really good. It's funny. And I think you even mentioned, if I'm remembering correctly, that it only gets better. It's like a fine wine mm-hmm. that continues to age. So I'm excited. It's ramping up. So it's good stuff.
Have you gotten to the point? Cause now I've seen both seasons, so I don't know. Does he own a phone yet?
He has a phone,
like a smartphone. I don't think
he
doesn't have a smartphone yet. Stuff. Okay, because that, like I said, it only gets better. It's like he gets reintroduced to the world, like just like it's quite amazing. But yes, great show. Glad you're hopping in. They announced that season 3 is going to come out in January.
Ooh, so
only 2 months left on that. I want to say fall is here. At least it is in North Carolina, but in California, scary stuff for you. I mean, I want to say out of our entire group of friends, you were the one who was most impacted, I believe, at least in the group mm-hmm. chat. And you had to make a quick escape for a couple days. Let's take a peek. Let's take a peek here. How did this kind of happen for you? You and Shay and Kellen, were there any after effects, or were you guys worried leading up to it that something might happen? Give us a quick little rundown and just kind of walk us through this fire situation in South Orange County.
Yeah, so I think it was Tuesday last week. I take Kellen. I get on. I must have been one of the last people that day to get on the toll road. And I look kind of to the northeast, and I just see like a huge plume of smoke. And you know, and people from California are like, oh, it's probably a fire somewhere. It never doesn't really register how close it actually was. And so I drop Kellen off at daycare in RSM, 10 minutes away, and then I come home and I get a buzz on my work phone. I get a buzz on my cell phone, like mandatory evacuation, get out. And it's one of those, like, you don't know if this is legit. It probably is legit. I start packing up some stuff and I'm just like, okay, I'll go to my in-laws for today. I'll pack up just a little bit for like one night. Probably won't be a big deal. And then I like go on Twitter and it's like, no, here's where the fire is. It's like two streets away, not like two streets away, but like 10 minutes away. Like you need to get out. Mm-hmm. And it had kind of started kind of by, I don't know if you remember where the dump is in Irvine. You kind of drive by it on the toll road. Yeah. So it started kind of right over there and it was spreading south just along kind of that hillside on the toll road. And so, yeah, I just packed up as much as I could, loaded the car, and just went to the in-laws, and we were there for a couple days, and, you know, it actually got really close to where your mom used to live, in those condos right there in Foothill, like, it came right up that hillside, right up there, so, it was pretty gnarly, and, like, firefighters did an awesome job, like, no structures damaged, it just smelled like a barbecue for a couple days after. When we were able to come back, and I mean, now it just looks like I live in, you know, an apocalyptic hellscape. All like the toll road signs on the exits are burnt out, and all the trees are like black little shrubs, and it's just kind of gnarly. I feel like I live in a metal video now.
What was going through your head when like it was time to evacuate though? Like, you know, like were you guys rushing around? Was it only grab the essentials, you know, the Xbox, the microphone, and then the laptop? I mean,
Xbox didn't make it. I was actually hedging my bets that I'd get one from the Taco Bell promotion. So Xbox didn't make it. But the microphone, I was just like, man, I'll throw this in. Because it was next to a hard drive with all our, like, wedding photos and like, essential photos. So it was more just where it was in proximity. I was like, all right, we'll throw it in there. But, yeah, I pretty much it took me like 3 hours when I got back just to put the house in order because I had just thrown so much crap everywhere trying to find certain things that Shay was like, oh, you have to find his baby book and his footprints. Where are those? I have no idea.
Oh, right. No.
So, yeah. So, but I found them and now we're like very prepared. I have like my little go box tub in the garage ready to just grab and throw in. It has all that stuff in it now, so. Being prepared. It was kind of scary, but after the first night when we woke up, and it not, you know, not better for everyone else, but it had kind of moved towards Foothill and not continuing west towards like where we live in Irvine.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, my old house, whatever, in Foothill. I actually texted David Page because his parents still live down there, and he told me, yeah, they evacuated and. She sent me pictures of their backyard, like, well, not whatever you want to call it, their little porch view of it. So pretty much exactly what you said, just an entire 241 up in flames. But it's scary, man. I mean, I remember when we had to do that I couldn't remember when it was, 2009. I don't, it's been a while. But yeah, scary stuff, fires, very just, they don't happen a lot, but that's just something that you don't want to mess with. And we could save this for the how you want to die pod, but I mean, much rather die in a blizzard than a fire. Actually could be some interesting takes there, but fire, I think it'd be over quicker. But I feel like the 10 seconds where it's leading up to your death, probably the most unimaginable pain you could ever think of in your entire life.
Not great.
Where the blizzard is going to be a slow, like, you know, we will save that.
You're going numb. You're going numb at a certain point.
Yeah, you're going numb, right? maybe a little psychological warfare in there as well, but the fire, you don't even have a chance to think about it. It's just, oh, yeah. Speaking of fire, Jeff, 90 degrees for you, though, in California. Is that really where you're at right now, 90 degrees in your fall? Well,
yesterday was 90. Today, it's cooling off. So it's supposed to be 74 as a high today. But it was 90 yesterday.
Oh, wow. I mean, again, this is the All the Feels weather pod.
Oh, yeah. The afterlife and weather pod.
on your radio dial. Fall is here. I've been posting pictures and all that. Lots of leaves. That's what happens here. We do get leaves and our lawns just get absolutely destroyed with them. But the gutter guards are working great. So at least our gutters are clean. It's about 39 or 40 when you wake up in the morning, but then it gets up to like 60. Yesterday it was 70 degrees. So it is a really confusing time. You wake up and you're like, do I put on the heater? And then you do, or the heat, and then you turn it off at 10 a.m. because you're like, oh, it's already 60 now. So the house probably gets very confused. But my favorite time of year, especially in North Carolina, where fall does last for about 2 months or so, as opposed to living in Connecticut, where it's about 18 days. And just the weather, the winter hits you too hard. My parents were here, 2 weeks ago now at this point, and we went to Charleston, South Carolina. Never been there. It's about a 3-hour drive from here, and I've heard so many great things, Jeff, about Charleston. It's like a historic city. It's also a beach town.
It's got a reputation.
Right on the water. What's that?
It's got a very positive reputation.
That's right. Exactly. A very positive reputation. Well, just to cut this a bit short, it's a bit overrated. I went there, and you would think, I think what just you're encapsulating in your head is beach town. You're on the water, walkable, you know, just sand, mm-hmm. and also just like beach bars and all that stuff. No, none of that. It's, first of all, there's no sand. There's no beach, really. I think it's kind of like the opposite of San Diego. Where San Diego, you got Pacific Beach, you got the whole coastline to go to. And then if you want to get a different kind of vibe, you go across the bridge to Coronado, right?
Yeah.
Here it's the opposite. Charleston is like the Coronado version where it's like the hipster, like boutique stores and like mom and pop stores and all that stuff with no beach access. But you cross the bridge on Charleston to, like, another little area. It's a big-ass bridge, by the way, so I'm not even, like, it's not just a bridge, like a giant bridge. And that's where you get, like, the beach bars and the beach and stuff. So it's a little bit backwards, and we weren't really prepared for that. And it's just so old. I don't know how old it is, but there were buildings there from the 1700s, and they're all, like, you know, historical landmarks. They got their official plaque on the building where it's like, you know, you can't destroy this building because it was made 800 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of that. So that's what Charleston is. And it definitely had a very weird vibe to it. Would I go back? I mean, probably not. But, you know, stay a day there and have a good time. And that's about it, Jeff. That's my Charleston, South Carolina review. There you go. On the All the Feels travel.
Not glowing, but glad we can cross that one off the list if we don't have to. So thank you for that. Doing the listeners a service. I mean, it's coming. I mean, where the tourism board for Charleston is falling off as a sponsor, but Gutter Guards filling in great as another unofficial official sponsor of the pod.
They really are Gutter Guards. Last thing we can touch on. You wrote about the ESPN firings on here. Layoffs, firings, whatever you want to call them. Is there anything particular you wanted to ask about them? Because I do have
I just wanted your take. I saw some fire clapbacks on Twitter from you. Wanted, as a former employee of the, what do they call it? The sports network. I don't know.
I mean, they call it the worldwide leader. I don't know.
Worldwide leader. Yeah. The worldwide leader.
And who that it was, you know, 40 years ago, but, you know, Jake the Blake has his own blog on football, so he's just as much as a powerhouse as ESPN. I know a couple people who got laid off on Twitter. I saw them and people that I worked with while I was there, so they were still there. It does seem like a lot of radio people got laid off. Like, you know, that's not like a laughing matter, but that I saw two names that I had worked with who were still there, and now they are not, and they had worked there for 12, 13 years. And I'm just looking, and the funniest thing about all this, about the layoffs at ESPN, is then you look at, like, the big names, like Stan Verrett and on-air talent, just all these on-air talents being like, oh, my best to these people. I'm like, your best, you're the ones, are the, you're the reason these people are getting laid off. Like, all you on-air talents are the reason. Like, they'll... Stephen A. Smith, like, oh my god, please help me if he ever posts anything about people getting laid off, because he, and that's my troll tweet of the day, is I just go on everyone's lay who was laid off and say, well, it's okay because your salary is going to Stephen A. Smith and you could be very proud of that.
Yeah,
because that's all they care about. They care about their big names. All these, you know, COVID obviously came and hit, and they were reluctant to even, you know, do stuff remotely. Because of just, they didn't want to keep as many people high on the payroll as possible. And I know that because of just radio shows I listen to. And now, for some reason, now is the time. This is a, and it's a very strange time for the layoffs, too, by the way. Because all the sport, you know, NFL's back. Basketball's going to be back in about a month or two. It's not like they were in the middle of...
There's no shortage of sports.
Yeah, like we're June, where it was like, who knows if any sports are coming back, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, they just do it now. So I have no sorrow for ESPN as a whole, but it does suck for... Obviously, it sucks for people to lose their jobs. I just wish it was under better circumstances, or even, like, if you could see things were on the up and up for them, for the company itself.
Yeah.
But they're frauds. So, there you go.
Well, we'll go from one terrible situation to another terrible situation. Get into some NFL news here, Will. The Chargers, this is another season of chargering. You thought maybe Phillip Rivers at the door, the chargering would come under control, but nay, it has, some would say, only accelerated. Wanted to get your take. There's, I haven't been hearing a lot of this. Like, Anthony Lynn, great guy, player's coach, as they say. How much is he to blame for all of this? I know it, this year it hasn't been as much of the clock management stuff, which has plagued him in the past, but isn't it, like, doesn't it say something about the coaching where I feel like someone like Belichick, if you're up 27-3, goes for the throat, and you're up, you know, 48-10 at the end of the game, versus the Chargers, they just, they have that little, that transition to the third to the fourth quarter where, you know, they just give momentum to the other team. What are your thoughts? Is it Lynn? Is it the players? Is it, you know, the culture? Or is it just the Chargers' curse?
It's obviously can't just be one thing. It's always going to be a multitude of things. Players executing, you know, the plays, and coaches calling the right stuff, and heck, even getting rid of your demons as a Chargers franchise. I saw 2 weeks ago, not this past game, but the one before that, where the Chargers had yet to even score a touchdown in the third quarter in seven games. You know, this is prior to this past one, because they're just so bad in the third quarter. You already said it, third to the fourth quarter. Well, if it comes to the second half and the third quarter, you haven't scored a touchdown in six or seven games, then you can't say it's execution. That's coaching, because they're doing something different where the other team is, like, changing their ways after halftime. I just saw a post this morning. We did just have a Packers 49ers game last night. I did not finish it, but I did see, you know, the Packers were up, what, 28-3 in the third quarter. And guess what? They scored another touchdown, and they scored two more field goals or whatever. They were up 21-3, and they were throwing in the third quarter to go to 28-3. And Charger fans were, you know, the Reddit's just like, wow. So that's what that looks like when you keep doing what you were doing the first half and you use it in the second half. You keep throwing. Because that's just what Charger fans know. They think we have a 20-point lead, or excuse me, they have a 20-point lead. They can run the ball with 10 minutes left in the third quarter and waste the last 25 minutes of the game. That's just kind of what goes through their head. So that's coaching. Can't really use injuries anymore as a crutch, because everyone has injuries. And I think the main focus is, with Lynn, it took him six games of Justin Herbert starting for him to finally be like, you know what? Yeah, he is pretty good. And he keeps making the same kind of arguments, though, after a game, saying, you know, he did make a couple mistakes. He made one throw that he shouldn't have. And it's like, dude, he's thrown 20 touchdowns. Like, he can make three interceptions. It's fine. This isn't Tom Brady in 2007. He's allowed to make mistakes. Have some faith in your quarterback to win you these games instead of Justin Jackson or Troy Maine Pope. Like, come on now. They had 210 yards rushing. I get it. And you can't – I mean, just – you can't lose to Drew Lock when you're up 21 points.
No, you cannot. That's not a good look.
It should be for Biden. Forbidden. That's a Chargers fan right there for you. And everyone talks about the Falcons. Like, come on now. I used to work at ESPN. He tweeted. He's like, everyone talks about the Falcons falconing, but dude, why does nobody ever talk about the Chargers? I'm like, yeah, well, because the Chargers are irrelevant.
Yeah, and the Falcons did it in the biggest spotlight.
So true. I think that definitely has to do with it.
Chargers got to get there.
So thank you for that. Let's talk about COVID-19, Jeffrey. We can relate this both to NFL and fantasy because this is just, I mean, I say this every day. Why did I play fantasy this year? The Raiders have been fined again. So as a team, they were fined $500,000. I don't really know what that means, but John Gruden himself was fined $150,000. Must be nice. And they also lose a 6th-round pick. So overall, they've been fined $1.2 million. And now they're losing a 6th-round draft pick because of just the way they've handled protocols. They've had players go out to, like, not really parties, but it's been, like, charity events and stuff without masks. They also kind of did like an injury thing with their tackle that the Chargers did with Tyrod Taylor. Like a doctor kind of misdiagnosed something as well with COVID. Do you think, we can keep going about the list of teams that are shutting down facilities. I think the Texans shut down a facility today. I mean, who even knows? Is anything going to happen? Like, is anything going to change? Because you see the tweet that I put under that. The NFL is going to do their best to finish this season no matter what. So taking stuff away, all this money, do you think any teams are going to start changing the way they're kind of operating?
I think they should. I feel like, I don't know, maybe people are getting a little bit too comfortable now as the season is progressing on. And I felt like the first couple weeks it was pretty good. And then once that whole Titans situation happened, then I feel like it's been a weekly kind of thing. Obviously, football isn't something that can – I mean, I guess you could, in theory, figure out some bubble situation if there was ever a complex that could accommodate it. But – yeah, there's just too much money on the line for everyone. And I think, you know, players, coaches, you know, owners, executives, NFL people, they all want this to happen. And so they haven't reached the point of no return with just kind of the chess pieces, moving them around and the buys and being able to reschedule. If they get some major, like, multi-team outbreak, like just a couple steps worse than what's happening right now, where they need to reschedule like 4 games and this is like week 13, then I think we could be moving into, you know, some expanded playoffs in a more bubble-esque like situation, kind of like what baseball did, maybe do it in 2 different locations and then bring them together at the end. But It's been wild. I mean, it's been wild from the COVID aspect, but also, you know, you wrote about the lack of preseason, like just the amount of injuries. It's been a crazy year.
Yeah, and then this is what Chris Mortensen said. The NFL committee are going to try to somehow come together on a 16-team playoff season if what you just said happens. If it's week 11, 12, 13, and now there's no more bye weeks, you can't move teams around again. You can't just keep pushing games back because then we're going to get to, you know, February and March to be playing NFL games. So they're saying they would do a 1-8 seed. Now 8 teams in each conference would make the playoffs. I mean, Lions, you have a chance. 8 teams in each playoffs, but there'd be no bye weeks in the playoffs. It would be 1-8, 2-7. You know, so on and so forth for the playoffs. So they're expecting to vote on that. They met yesterday. or a couple days ago to talk about that. So they just want to finish the season. And you know why, Jeff? Because of money. They want to finish this season and going to do kind of whatever it takes.
I feel like, let me get your take on this, Will. Something I've been thinking about. I feel like this season, despite all the craziness and maybe because of it, there hasn't been, with maybe one or two exceptions, like some really notable outlier teams. Meaning I feel like it's a really tight season. They're like anyone on any given week, like the Raiders beat the Chiefs, like, okay, and then the Raiders go and lose the next week. It's like, I feel like the top half of the league, the difference between each team is pretty thin. Like, obviously there's some absolute duds, but there isn't like a Ravens last year where you felt like they're like, chalk them up, they're winning this week. Like, they could lose to any team that's, you know, halfway decent, because they have flaws. Every team has flaws this year. So
I agree 100% with that. And even the teams that we think are good, or not really good, excuse me, teams that have a good record aren't even good. And the teams with bad records aren't even bad. Yep. The Falcons and Chargers can win any game. They won't, because we just talked about why they won't. But they have a chance, and that's all you need is a chance. Whereas, you know, there's two teams this year who aren't going to win really any time, and that's the Jets, maybe the Giants, the Cowboys. Like, those three teams are teams that, for one reason or another, are just really bad. But I agree. Steelers could lose. The Steelers are undefeated, but they have had three games where they almost lost. So, yes.
Luckily, Cowboys this week.
I mean, hey, never know. Could lose. Maybe. So that is, you're right. So NFL, for sure, in terms of just the quality, at least we're getting a good quality season. And if you didn't know it, really, because you don't see the fans too much in the stands anyway, you wouldn't really notice a difference. The only real time I've ever noticed it is when a touchdown happens. There's just no noise.
Yeah, and they have to go to that little camera celebration area.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you see that there's no one in the stands. Jeff, some fantasy odds and ends. You talked about this a little bit earlier, and you said, and we both kind of talked about no preseason. People were all like, oh, who cares? No one cares about preseason anyway. Kind of think, I don't know, this might have a different impact on future seasons and preseason. I mean, it was already going to be shortened to two preseason games, or maybe three, I forget, before COVID even happened. And I think keeping it to two or three is going to be beneficial moving forward, even if they can't agree. And I say they, I mean the NFL can't agree on ticket prices to those games, because that was the big thing, was they were the same price as a regular season game.
No, that's Bush League.
Yeah, it is. I mean, trust me, I had season tickets. I know. So the lack of preseason, we can go two ways with this, and both of them are presented here. Is this a reason for the high-profile injuries that we're seeing every single week? And it's not like concussions are the reason, because that's a total luck of the draw. But conditioning injuries. Obviously, the first couple weeks of the year, we had mind-boggling amounts. Hamstrings, ACLs, ankles, stuff that you just twist one way and it just goes out. So that is definitely one thing. And now, the other side of it is fantasy. And we can bring this back to the Chargers. You can bring this back to really any player that's kind of shined. If there was a preseason, maybe the Chargers would have seen Justin Herbert and be like, oh, snap, he's pretty damn good. Chase Claypool for the Steelers. Oh, shoot, he's a player. We're going to play him more. Do you think both of these can be true? The preseason hurts both for injury-wise, but then also the money-wise and the fantasy and causing fantasy seasons to be a little thrown apart because we don't know who is good.
Well, I do think the injury thing definitely, you know, the lack of having the full camp and the whole run-up and then the preseason games and then just going right into it, I definitely think that played a role with some of those soft tissue things. Now, obviously, there were a lot of crazy things that happened. I was just thinking, you know, how many players in the first round, Will, in the ship. So obviously there's a couple keepers that would have been taken out and a couple players pushed up. How many of the first round picks have not missed at least two games this season? 12 players.
Have you done your research on the play? On the, because
I'm pretty confident. Oh, I have it right in, here. My, in my.
So who has not missed a game?
Who has not missed more than two games?
Okay. So one. I have one. I have two. I think three players of the 12.
Yep.
So Zeke hasn't missed any games, right?
Nope.
It's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's kind of a weird situation, but he hasn't missed any games. And yeah, then Tyreek.
Yep, Tyreek.
DeAndre, did he miss one game or two games?
I think he missed one game.
He hasn't missed any games, actually. Oh. There you go. He went out and won, but God, he's been a beast anyway. There you go. So, okay, so not as bad as, you know, I mean, wait, never mind. That is bad. Sorry.
Yeah. That is bad. And if you layer in that Clyde Edwards has had, you know, people added to his roster, you know, impacting him, that's 75% of the first round has been heavily impacted in some way.
I mean, you can go to the second round, too, because George Kittle, you know, he already missed a couple, like a game or two, and now he's gone for the year. Kenyon Drake's been back and forth. Jonathan Taylor, you weren't really sure if he was going to be the guy. Michael Thomas, Kenny Golladay, Chris Carson, and let's see, Le'Veon Bell for obvious reasons, and Mark Ingram now. Like, that's just the first two rounds have just been dominated by injuries. So, okay, your point stands right there. I mean, whether it's preseason or not, we can just say, like, every year, right, it's always, are injuries worse this season than the last? Sure.
Yeah. So, to the fantasy point, though, Will, I actually think it's kind of a double-edged sword because, yes, the good breakouts we weren't able to get more intel on, but it also cut out, like, 80% of the Darwin Thompsons of the world that were so hyped that, you know, people like all those super hype train, hype machine people, you know, that didn't really do anything, were eliminated. So I feel like the waiver wire has been pretty, I don't know. I feel like this season, just because of the injuries and because, you know, there wasn't that intel, I feel like every week for those first couple weeks, there were usable players that you could get on the waiver wire that were going to become starters or that had kind of broken out, like Travis Fulgham, you know, where I don't know if we would have known about him even in the preseason. He was so far down, but then he was easily picked up once he kind of exploded into a PPR machine.
And yeah, and with the injuries happening, it causes more players to be brought up, and the expanded rosters help that too. Who knows if Fulgham would even been on this Eagles roster.
Yeah.
If the rosters weren't expanded due to COVID in the first place. So, yeah, you're right. It is a double-edged sword. But
DiNucci would not have been the quarterback. That would have been good.
Yeah, it's true. Cooper Rush. For a second, I thought he said Gucci. And I was like, what?
Gucci DiNucci.
Gucci DiNucci. Jeff, bring your high MIT analytics here. Value of high-end running backs versus wide receivers. Where are you going with this? Are you just saying that which one outweighs the other, and is there more of one than the other?
Yeah, I think I wrote this a couple weeks ago and kind of thinking about, you know, there's always the conundrum of should you draft, like zero RB, right? Like did zero RB this year work, or did drafting running back work? You know, I feel like if you went Kamara, Josh Jacobs, you're, you know, licking your chops and singing yourself high praises. But I think maybe there is something to the drafting a high-end wide receiver in those first two rounds to have that stability. Now, that being said, I drafted Mike Evans in the second round, and that has been a little bit volatile, but some good weeks in there. So I think the jury's still out, Will. I think I don't know if this season is really going to prove the theory one way or another, just because McCaffrey was out for so long, Barkley being out for the entire year, on kind of freakish injuries. Didn't help.
I mean, I have the right answer, and it's pretty simple. And the right answer is you go running back if you make the right picks. There you go.
Well, yeah.
You got to be right. Whatever picks you make, and if it ends up being right in the end, then you made the right pick. I went running back, and both running backs got hurt. Chubb. All three of them got hurt. And so, you know what? I made the wrong picks. I should have went wide receiver. But then I probably would have picked Michael Thomas or, I don't know, who really, actually, to be honest, Julio, I guess, has missed a little bit of time, but wide receiver has been the one area where even if Devontae misses three games, he still scores 30 a game when he does play. So,
yeah, doing pretty well.
You know, that really kind of evens out there. It's amazing to me that someone like Devontae can have 8 or 9 touchdowns this year and he's played like 6 games. Hasn't even
it's crazy.
Been full the whole time. So, make the right picks. That's really what you have to hear when you hear all the Fields Fantasy podcast. We don't really our advice is to be smart and make your right picks.
Yeah. Jeff, and no one knows anything.
Before we go and end this particular part of the pod, I do want to since we focus more on our leagues in the next pod, I do want to talk really quick about our best ball pod. Our best ball team. The future of fantasy, and also DraftKings, by the way. Shout out to them. Haven't talked about them in a while. In a COVID year, I should have just went straight to DraftKings in daily fantasy, considering you actually know who is going to be playing that day.
Yeah.
All right. Leave that alone. Best ball, Jeff. We talk about this on every pod. I can't get enough of this. We are in third place right now. Kind of a heated battle between second, third, and fourth. The first place team has a bit of a gap on everybody, but the set it and forget it. I mean, it's been the least stressful thing in fantasy. We drafted our players, 2 months ago, and it's just been the easiest thing in the world. We have a great team. We have Austin Eckler and Chris Carson, who haven't been 100% for some of the season, and we're still in third place. That Justin Jackson pickup at the very end, thank God I did that. Aaron Rodgers, the one league where we got him, has been just carrying our team.
Money.
And with this being a PPR, I mean, Stephon Diggs has helped a lot there, and Derrick Henry has been our other cornerstone. I mean, I can't speak enough of this league, Jeff. And I think we're in good shape, man. I don't understand how the playoffs work, to be honest. I just think we need to finish in the top two. But I'm in. All in. Again, just can't speak enough of best ball fantasy.
No, it's fun because it's one of those things where the managerial decisions are out the window, right? So we see Mecole Hardman get like a 2-catch, 90-yard, and a TD game, and we're like, oh, money in the bank. Count it for best ball. You see Derrick Henry just plowing through dudes. Just give me all of that. Diggs dudes going up and catching balls, loving it. Rodgers getting 4 touchdowns in the first half. Give me all of that, even though he only has like 180 yards or something. I'll take him.
He's still got 30 points, though.
Well, yeah.
You got 31.95 for us. And I mean, the scoring is a little weird, but 31.95 already just going into the end. And to benefit us, we did take 3 quarterbacks, and now our last 2 quarterbacks are done. Like, they're not playing anymore. Fitzpatrick was a shining star for us. Minshew definitely had some good weeks, but now apparently he's hurt, so Rodgers is going to have to carry us to victory, Jeff.
Luckily, Rodgers has had his bye, right? So I think we're good.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, we survived him without his bye because we had sexy Fitzy or Minshew, whoever it was, who has been carrying us to the top. Although, Minshew got us 24 that week. Fitzpatrick's has been our leading scorer once. We survived a little bit without Rodgers. But there we go.
Yeah.
That is the best ball. Recap again, and we're gonna recap that every week because I can't wait to see what it holds for us, Jeff.
Oh yeah.
All right. Love so that me. Was the Fantasy Odds and Ends All the Feels Weather podcast.
Brought to you by Gutter Guards.
Gutter Guards and the weather app on your phones. Download and subscribe and rate and review All the Feels Fantasy on iTunes and all that jazz. We'll be back with and of course, the ones people have been clamoring about, even Terry Murph, clamoring to see where Thug Love is and Prestige Worldwide on the power rankings. So stay tuned for that. We will talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.